right. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to express the word that God gave. Not to belabor the point, but man, God is doing every Sunday. God's doing something. Every service, where two or three are gathered together, I'm in your midst, and He is. He's in your midst. And He wants to do great things. He wants to do great things. You know, God is just giving. Last week, sometimes I'll come up and share a word, and there's times when people have a word on their heart. And I just want you to know that God is doing this for you. He's doing this for you. He's giving you a word that you need in this season. And so I just want you to be really in tune, you know, when someone comes up and gives a word like that, or one of our young teenagers or young adults, you know, God is doing something. He wants to give you what you need. And I'm just so glad that we're open as a church to hear from God. You know, sometimes, you know, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to move in our midst. We can't be afraid of that. We can't be afraid of that. Like last week, there's times when, you know, we're in worship. This has nothing to do with my message, but I really want us to just, you know, I want to just be personal with you. There's times when, you know, in worship and God is speaking, and I know He's speaking, and sometimes I'll look around and to our young people, and I say, one of yous have the word this morning, and. And last Sunday, I knew someone had the word, but God said they didn't give it, so I came up and gave the word. But God is speaking to people. The reason why I'm saying all this is God is speaking to us. He's speaking to us. You know, I'm just not trying to fill time, because I could do that when I'm preaching. I can talk a lot. But when God gives us a word, I really want us as a church, because He's getting us ready for what He's preparing for us, for you. And so, you know, it's very important. That's why I always say, I always pray, come expecting, have a spirit of expectation. Lord, I come expecting to hear Your voice today. I come expecting to be able to hear You say what I need to hear in my life. Or, God, what are You speaking to us in this season and what the world is trying to bombard us with? God, what do You want to share with us? And so I'm encouraging you to come with a heart of expectation. Lord, speak to me this morning. And this morning, once again, He did. He's trying to say to us, hey, there was people here that came here this morning challenging Jesus. And it's okay. Don't feel guilty that you're challenging Jesus. I want to say that, because you may walk out there and go, man, no. Jesus wants you to talk to Him. And if that's how you are, the God, I only know how to speak it this way, speak it. Because God is saying, I want to hear from you because I have the answer for you. So open up your hearts. When you come into Calvary, you come expecting to hear what Jesus has. And He wants to move in your life. So we've been talking about, we're on the series of same God, different seasons that we're all in. Same God, but different seasons. And we're going to start studying about Joseph, and the title of this message is Setbacks Are Stepping Stones to Success. Setbacks are stepping stones to success. We all have some setbacks. We all are going through a season where, man, I got a vision, I got a dream, I received a word from God, and man, it didn't come yet. It didn't come yet. How many have been in a season like that? Come on, be honest. How many have been in a season? Oh, good. Good. A lot of us have been in that season. Hey, God gave me a word, and you're so excited about that word, and you go and tell people, and then it's year, month after month after year after year. And I tell you, Joseph is a great example of how someone received a dream, a vision, gave him a dream, and it didn't really come forth in an expedient way. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction on whom the end of the ages has come. See, God is using this. He's using everything in the scriptures. He's using this word. It's the infallible word of God. It's the spoken word of God that man has recorded, and he's used it for our instruction. We all know that Jesus is from Genesis to Revelation. This book is not about you. Wow. This book is not about you. It's about Jesus. Because if it was about you, every one of you would have had to write your own book. Jesus wrote one book because it's about him. I want you to understand that. When you read this book, it's about Jesus from the very beginning to the very end. But God has used this to instruct us. When God gives you a word, he wants you to do something different. He wants to do something different in your life. You are entering a new season. It's okay. It's okay. Joseph was to become one of the greatest leaders, not because he had all the breaks. You know, we look at some believers, some Christians, and we look at them when they're at their top. You know, we look at these great preachers and evangelists when they have 10,000 people sitting in their sanctuary. But no one saw them when they were in their living room with four couples at a Bible study, preaching the word, teaching each other, hearing from God, allowing the Holy Spirit to move. All of a sudden, they get on TV, and they have 10 campuses, 10,000 people, and we look at, oh, they had all the breaks. They must have not gone through anything. Look at, they have everything. When you look at Joseph, he was one of God's greatest leaders. He didn't have everything. He didn't get the breaks. He went through much adversity. We are all under construction. No one here is where God wants them to be right now. No one here is where God wants you to be right now. He's working on you continually to go someplace. Because if this is all you're going to be, then what are you going to do the rest of your life? God, you are constantly under construction. You do not have to be perfect for God to use you. See, sometimes we get caught up in this, Lord, you don't know where I'm at, and you know I'm going through the struggle. This is a terrible season, and I guess you'll use me when I come out. No, that's what the word was today. No, you're challenging me to know if you're real because you're in a season where you don't feel Jesus. Right? Come on. That's where we're at sometimes. God, I just don't feel you. We know Jesus is not a feeling. We know the Holy Spirit's not a feeling. And we got to get past that. And so, but we're all under construction. He's not waiting for you to be perfect. And as you serve him, he will continue to mold you into the person he wants you to be. Continually molding you. God has a divine purpose. He had a divine purpose for Joseph, and we're going to read it. Yet he never seemed to waver, Joseph. Joseph kept his eyes on God. What an encouragement it's got to be to you and I. Let God use you where you are. Let him use you in your hard times as well as in your good times. See, we don't want Jesus in our hard times sometimes because we're going through a struggle. We may not be lining up with Jesus just right. We may kind of feel like, you know, we veered off the course, and that's when Jesus says, no, that's when you need me. That's when I want to be there. You need to continue to call on me. Joseph received a dream. At age 17, he's given a word that is about ready to change his life. If you know the story of Joseph at all, I started reading this again, and I was telling some of the men in the office before I came out. It's like, I don't even know where to, how do you stop the story of Joseph? You start reading a story on Joseph, and it's like, I'm reading, and I was like, wait a minute, I got 12 sermons here, and I only have 30 minutes to preach it. And so, we're going to do a series on Joseph because God has used him in a mighty, mighty way. So let's turn to Genesis 37. Genesis 37, verse 3, we're going to start with. Joseph, he gets a dream from God. He's 17 years old. Okay, so when all you young people say, oh, I'm too young to hear from God, Joseph was 17 years old when he got this dream. In verse 3, it says, now Israel, that's his dad, Jacob, loved Joseph more than any other of his sons because he was the son of his old age and because he was born from Rachel. And he made him a robe of many colors, it says. See, the coat should have been given to the oldest son, but the coat was given to Joseph. Right here, we're going to have a little problem in the story, and you're going to see what happens. Joseph was not the oldest son. See, coats meant a lot in those days, and the coats, they carry belongings and even to serve as security for loans. I mean, some of these coats were made to be given as a loan, you know. I mean, the coat meant a lot, and some of them were just down to their knees, but the coat that Jacob gave his son was colorful. It was ankle length, and it probably was keeping with the royalty of that day. And so what it showed was he gave this to his son, and he wasn't the oldest son, so that was a problem. Then he gives this coat that's showing that it's beautiful. It has leadership connotations or leadership symbolism. It has authority, and all of a sudden it's given to the 17-year-old boy who it shouldn't even be given to. The 17-year-old son should be given to the oldest one. Wow, there's a problem. So we're going to go slow with this message. How many times have we seen people around you in church or happening in church and they say, well, how come he gets that? Or how come she gets that and I don't? You know, you're going to read this, when we read the story, there can be a lot of jealousy, there can be bitterness, there could be hatred. And so his father gives him this coat. Already the story starts out with a problem. And I want you to check yourself. How many times have we looked around at other people and said, why do they get with that? Why did God give them that? How come they get to do this? How come they get to do that? Think about it. I'm going to ask you these questions every once in a while to kind of keep you focused. It's like, check your spirit, check your heart. Check your spirit, check your heart. So we go on to verse 5, 5 through 11. And this gets really interesting. Okay, so we start with verse 5. And it says, oh, let's go back to, verse 5. Now Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we are binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf. His brother said to them, are you indeed reigning over us? You are indeed to rule over us? So that hated him even more. They hated him even more. So first they hated him. Now they hated him even more for the dreams and for the words. Then he dreamed another dream and told to his brothers and said, behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and even stars, 11 stars, were bowing down to me. But when he told it to his father, his own, and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you? And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. So we're reading this already. Here comes the dream. And how many times have you, God's given you a word. And all of a sudden you go tell this word to like your mom or dad or to one of your friends. Hey, God just spoke to me. And they kind of look at you and go, you're crazy. You know, When I told my mom and dad I was going to Haiti, even my mom thought I was crazy. She goes, what are you going to Haiti for? You know? And I was all excited because, you know, my story, missionaries and me, we weren't that close. Because they took my bed when they came to my house. They took my food. They sat at my seat at the table. I had to go sleep in the room with my brother on the couch, you know. And I was like, missionaries and I really didn't get along because I just felt like they were invading my space. That was the old Tom, the old Pastor Tom. They were invading my space, and I really had a hard time with them. And my parents were always the ones that everybody came over to the house, that they could come from, I don't care where, and they they were coming to my house. Didn't understand their language, didn't eat their food. You know, it really bothered me when I was growing up. And so I come to this place where the Lord says, you are going to Haiti. And I never heard that before, because I didn't want to go to Haiti. I didn't want to go any place where missionaries were. And then God sends me to a missions church. He just keeps on like, man, I'm going to pound this in you, brother, until you get it. And so, but I already got it before. And I'm just honored to be here. But so, and I told my parents, and I, you know, my parents are awesome. My mom, I wouldn't want any other mother, father. They're just great believers. But they said, you're crazy. Why are you going? And that kind of discouraged me. And how many times has God given you something, young or old, and you go share it with someone, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, that was the biggest letdown ever. You know, here, his own brothers are just like, I don't like you, I hate you, I'm jealous of you. The father rebukes him. Wow. But Joseph believed what the Lord had spoken, and he announced it to his family, and he knew that God had spoken to him. So what is your attitude when you see others prosper? I'm going to ask you some questions today. Think about it. When you see other people prosper in the church, or just in life in general, how does that make you feel? It's quiet. It's quiet. First point is, this is what God wants us to understand. God gives us purpose even if it's not received by others. Wow. God isn't taking a consensus here. God isn't walking up and he's saying, hey, church, what do you think about the word I'm going to go give Ben? Does anybody call you before they give a word to someone? Come on. Do they? How does it feel, make you feel? See, God has given you a dream, has given you a vision, and it doesn't matter if the other people haven't received it, because it is for you. He has a purpose for you. He now has, Joseph has a purpose, he has a vision for his life, even if it wasn't received by others. Church, you need to understand, when God gives you that word, that vision, that dream, it is for you, and it doesn't matter what the people around you are saying or believing, because they will get jealous. They will get envious. They will maybe get bitter. And they will maybe even hate you a little bit. Because we are conditioned not to allow people to prosper around us. Especially in church. I know I may be hitting some nerves here. But I'm being honest. God is being honest with us. Hey, man, if we got to change our mind. We got to change our attitudes. We got to change our heart. We should be. Remember last week I said pick a face in this church? Last Sunday, pick a face and start interceding for them. Start praying for them, because they're going through a season. You don't need to know the season. Jesus knows the season. But if you want unity at Calvary Gospel, you want unity in a church. Can you imagine unity in a church when you're praying for someone you don't even know, and you're praying for someone you don't know their issue, and you're praying for someone you don't know what season they're in? That's unity. That you're going on face on the carpet on your knees crying out to God for that face you don't even know. Wouldn't you like to pray for that person that says, God, give them the word. Give them the dream. Give them the vision. I don't need to know it. I don't want to know it, because it's their vision that you're giving them to prosper them in the ways of the Lord. Hallelujah. Who's with me? Come on. As long as you can live without knowing His purpose for your life, you will always be unfulfilled. Always. If you don't know God's purpose for your life, you will always be unfulfilled. Ephesians 5:17 says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, that's a whole nother series, the will of the Lord. Everybody says, comes to me as a pastor, hey, pastor, pray for me for the will of the Lord. You know, as a pastor, we people will say that. Or you may say it to your neighbor. Hey, so-and-so, I know you're a believer. I know you're praying. And I know that you'll get on your knees and pray for me. Hey, you know, pray for me that I see the will of the Lord. Do you realize that the will of the Lord is to love people? That's the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is to forgive people. The word of the Lord is to have faith in Jesus. Here's another good one. So if you're looking for the will of the Lord, let's take the basic ones first. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hey, if you caught that will of the Lord, a lot of times you wouldn't need to go to someone else and find the will of the Lord. Think about that. If you're not conforming to this world and you're being transformed by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, through the Father in heaven, I think you can hear from God. The Bible's full of the will of the Lord. But the Bible is not full of the will of the Lord. Who's the girl I'm supposed to marry? Who's the guy I'm supposed to marry? What house am I supposed to buy? Man, if you're not conformed to the world and you're transformed, you will know that woman when she walks by you. You will know that man. You will know that job. You will know where to go. You will know where not to go. You will know what not to touch. You will know who not to be with. I'm getting more voices out of the little baby. Come on, I need a hallelujah. This is the word. I'm not making this up. Man, if you want the will of the Lord, try one of those first. Go love people. Go love your enemies, because that's what the Bible says. If we were all really doing the will of the Lord, you would really understand the will of the Lord for your life. Because when that person doesn't match up with the Word of God, I'm going to go on record. You can write it down. That person's not for you. If the person is not a believer and is not lining up, now I'm not saying you have to be perfect. You know what I'm saying. If that person is not lining up with the word of the Lord and the will of God, if they haven't transformed their mind to Jesus Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to work with them, don't come to me and ask me to pray for you if that's the one. That isn't the one. Okay, the ones that agree with me will stay and the ones that don't will leave. Come on, church. I grew up. I asked all these questions. Come on, when God gives you the word, you stick to the word. Do not let it be compromised to this word. When He gives you that vision, when He gives you that dream, when He gives you that job, whatever He places you, you know it's from God. But to understand His will is so important. First of all, His will is that He gave us Jesus Christ. Are you following that? Right? He gave us Jesus Christ. And the second part of it, His will is, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? What are you doing, what God's called you to do? So when we need to understand His will, we need to understand that God is calling us to be to glorify Jesus, to glorify the Father. God's will has been given to us through Jesus. Your vision brings fulfillment. It will keep you on track. You know, when God gives you that vision, when God gives you that dream, when God gives you that word, that's what keeps you on track. Joseph's vision kept him on track during very difficult times. And when faced with great temptation, his brothers hated him. And you know we're going to get to the story. They threw him in a pit. He was sold into slavery. He was put in jail falsely. I mean, this guy went through the ringer. How did he stay focused? Because he had a vision from God, and he said, I'm not going to vary from the will of God. That's what we need to hang on to. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Hey, you want to walk with God? Catch a word from God. Catch a dream from God. Catch a vision from God. Walk in His laws, walk in His commandments, and don't veer off. That's how you're going to make it. But without that vision, and that word vision means divine communication. He may give you a dream. He may give you a revelation. He may give you a word. Someone may give you a word. As long as it lines up with the scripture, fine. But it's that you need that divine communication from God. Restraint means neglect, to let alone, to be out by yourself, not under the covering of Jesus. When the people cast that off and say, I can do it on my own. I don't need the Word. I don't need the Holy Spirit. I don't need the Bible. I don't need to come to church. I don't need to serve in church. I don't need the fellowship. I'm okay. You got a problem. You have a bullseye on your back, on your front. Pick a place. Because the enemy has a chance now to hit you. We need a rhema word, a revelation from God. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We may never get past this first point, and that's okay, because this is where God is going this morning. We need a rhema word. And that's what Joseph had, you know. Joseph had, he had the vision. It's a prophetic vision. It was a word from God. And that's a rhema word. And a rhema word, the first time that the rhema word is used in the New Testament, it's during Jesus' 40-day temptation by Satan. He says, change these stones into bread. Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And that word in the Greek is rhema. Every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He had a rhema word from God. He didn't have to change those stones into bread. He had a word that said, man shall not live by bread alone. Rhema is the word the Holy Spirit quickens to a specific person or a specific situation. You're in a season. And what I'm telling you, what God is telling us today, yes, this is the Logos word. This is the word of God, the infallible word of God. It's never going to change. It's the truth. It's purity. It's holy. It's righteous. It's true. It delivers. It heals. It frees. This is the Logos. That's what the Bible says. It's the Logos word. While the rhema, this is the Logos. This is the well. This is the well that everything comes from. This is it right here. There's nothing else. But sometimes God will use a rhema word from the Logos word, the well, and what God is saying to us this morning, he says, you will take the rhema is the bowl that dips into the well of God's word, and you drink it and say, wow, that's the word I needed today for my season. So we're talking about seasons. Sometimes, yes, we can get in our body. This is it, man. This is the word of God. It will never change. And then we're walking through seasons, and all of a sudden someone comes up to you and says, hey, the Lord just, you know, what we're doing here, when someone comes up and gives us a word like this morning, that's a rhema word. That's a word that someone needed to hear this morning. It's taken out of the well of the Logos word. This never changes. And sometimes you may be going through a season, and God needs to give you a rhema word, a vision, a dream, a word. And so people walk up to someone and say, or they just, you know, they give a word of prophecy. Prophecy always has to line up with this. Prophecy always. Sometimes I say, don't ever say always or never. Prophecy always has to line up with the Word of God. If it doesn't, do not accept it. It has to line up with the Word of God. The rhema is the bowl of water from the well. We need a rhema word sometime, and that's what God did all through the Old Testament. He would speak and say, this thus saith the Lord, this is what's going to happen. You know, it's that rhema word that we need. The Logos and the rhema, here it is. The Logos and the rhema word that God gives always lines up with each other. It's never different. See, sometimes You know, we read Scripture, we memorize Scripture, and we're going through a season, and all of a sudden, we start quoting Scripture, which we need to do. Eat the Word. What did Josh say? It's a buffet, but it's self-serving. This is a buffet. This is a buffet, but it's self-serving. If you don't get up and walk over to this, it's not going to do anything for you. Nothing. 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 Walk over. Get your Bible. Eat it until you're fat with the Word of God. And so he got a rhema word. He got a vision. He got a dream. Remember, the Logos is the well. If you don't know where the well is, how will you be able to take a bowl of water from it? You need to know that this is it. This is all you have, all you'll ever will have. And when you need, in the season that you're in, whatever you're going through, Lord, I know the Scriptures. I've been eating this. It's my buffet. I am stuffed and I am full. But I still need what? To hear your voice. That's what I want to get us to understand. This is what Jesus is trying to get us to understand. Will you come and sit with me as we sing at my feet, hear my heartbeat? That's the rhema word. We need that. You need that. If you don't have this, you don't know how to get the rhema word. Your God-given rhema word or vision will inspire you, will motivate you, help restrain you from the flesh. Why can some people stay away from some things? Because first of all, they ate from the buffet and they were constantly asking Jesus, give me a word anyways. I want to hear your voice in this situation. In your season, you begin to ask Jesus questions. Here's what I want to help us understand. We're only going to get to this first point, so don't worry. I'm not going to put up my 3 points. We'll be out of here by 12. But you need to catch this. I've never preached 1 point before. I'm learning. Okay, so in your season, you need to begin to ask Jesus questions. Not, why am I here, Jesus? Why did you put me here? Those aren't the questions you ask Jesus. He knows why he put you there. He knows where you are. We have to start asking Jesus questions. That's where you get the rhema word. Listen to this. What's your attitude when you're in that season? Come on. What's your attitude? See, we're good at telling everybody, don't talk negative. Don't say it kills me. Don't say it's never going to work. You know how sometimes we just say this language and it's not biblical. God does not like it. And don't say it. You know, you hurt yourself and go, oh, yeah, now the other finger is going to be, I'm going to break the other finger. Well, yeah, you probably will if you keep on saying it. Listen, you need a word from God. Stop asking God, why am I here? And have a bad attitude. Here's one. Jesus, you have orchestrated this season. How can we work together in this? Wow. That would be a question to ask Jesus. Hey, Jesus, I'm in this season now, and I know that you've orchestrated this season, okay? I'm not talking about sinning. I'm talking about God has put you in a place, put you in a job. He's put you with relationships. He's moved you into the center of something. And instead of saying, God, why am I here? They're a bunch of heathens. They're no good. They cuss. They swear. They're lustful. They're prideful. Come on, I was there. I've tried to pray myself out of season. We talked about that last week. Come on, start asking Jesus questions, because when you're sitting at his feet and you're hearing his heartbeat, he wants you to talk to him. Jesus, you've orchestrated this season. How can we work together in this? Wow. What makes you happy, Jesus, about me in this season? Did you ever think about asking that question? Jesus, you put me in this season. What makes you happy about me? What do you see in me that you just smile upon me when I make those decisions? See, we're just sitting here going, God, take care of me. Get me out of this situation. Change that person because they're a no good sinner. They're going to hell. Why do I have to hang out with them? Well, you have to hang out with them because Jesus hung out with them. Everyone Jesus hung out with, they're all going to hell. Stop trying to get out of your situation and start talking to Jesus. And the reason why I never talked to Jesus, because I was told that I couldn't. You weren't worthy. You weren't old enough. What would you ask Jesus anyways? He's Jesus. What are you going to ask him? Until I started having a relationship with Jesus and understanding, he wants me to talk to him. I'm his bride. You're his bride. You're his lover. Don't tell me that you're in love with your spouse and you don't want to talk to them, because you're really not in love with your spouse. And so God is trying to teach us as a church, hey, you need a rhema word once in a while. You fatten yourself up on this. It's a buffet, but it's self-serve. You walk up to it, but you may be in a season where you just say, Lord, I need to hear your voice. I don't, not just from here, Lord, I want you to speak to me through the Holy Spirit that is inside of me, that dwells inside of me, and I want it to belly up. It says that he's the living water in our belly. Okay, so if he is the living water in our belly and the Holy Spirit, why don't we let him speak? Why don't we talk to him? Come on, church, talk to Jesus. What makes you happy about me in this season? How have my decisions in this season glorified you, Jesus? Do you ever think about asking Jesus that? How have my decisions in this season glorified you? I've done this. It's amazing. I asked Jesus. I said, why do you love me the way you do? What decisions have I made that you love me in? I ask him these things because he's my lover. He's my bridegroom. He's coming back for me. If I'm allowing him to create me, mold me, make me, stretch me, and become more like Jesus, I need to talk to him. You need to talk to him. And don't be afraid of him. So I started doing this. You know what he said to me? He says, I love how you love Calvary Gospel. I said, Lord, you put me in this season. You've made a big transition in my life with my wife and I. And you know I love this church. You know I love you. But I asked him a simple question. What do you love about me in the season that you've given me? He goes, I love that you love Calvary. I love that you love people. And he just started speaking to me. And you're saying, well, how did you know the rhema word lines up with the logos word? And so there are seasons in our life where if you're doing all this, then take the next step and say, Jesus, in the season you put me in, what decisions have I made that glorify you? And he will talk to you. He will say, I love how you were confronted by so-and-so and you loved them anyways. Start talking to Jesus. Start asking Jesus questions. See, Joseph was able to do it because he took the vision that God gave him and he didn't care what other people were going to say or do. I mean, they're out to kill him in the story. You don't talk to God. Okay, here's some of the things that, and we're going to end just with this first point. This is how we react when you don't understand this. Because we've all done it. You say things like, you don't talk to God that way. You don't have to raise your hand on this one, but I will. How many times has gone through your mind, well, you don't talk to God that way. He's God. You don't ask Jesus how he feels about you. I'll be the only one raising my hand. I don't want you to raise your hand. You don't talk to God that way. Here's another one. God doesn't like me. Maybe other people could have this kind of a relationship with God, but not me. Why? It was based on the cross. That's what this relationship is based on, the cross. See, Joseph understood that what God had spoken to him and declared about him was true no matter what the circumstances indicated. You have to grab a hold of that. We have got to go past just quoting scripture. We have to eat on this until we're full, until we can stuff more in and keep on stuffing more in. And then there's seasons where God is, where you are talking to Jesus and saying, Jesus, Holy Spirit, it dwells inside of me. Bible says the Holy Spirit, Jesus goes, I have to go so I can send you the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes when you receive Jesus Christ. He dwells inside of us, but we never let him work. Come on, let's be honest. We don't let him work. We don't go, Holy Spirit, you just give me the utterance. You just speak to me. How, Lord God, what would a day look like, Jesus, with you and I spending it together? Would you ever think to ask Jesus that question? Lord, what would it look like? Lord, Jesus, where do you want to go today with me? That we could spend time together in your word. But Lord, I want to hear your voice because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, dwells inside of you. The Holy Spirit can speak to you. Hey, there's only one prerequisite to the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That is, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Because once you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you repent and understand that, Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. He speaks to you. Period. Wow. We're not going to get to anything else, and that's okay. Because we'll finish up. Just going to read this, and then we'll close. Come on, is anybody getting this? I mean, man, it'll revolutionize your life with Jesus. See, Jesus is in this story. We didn't even get to the other points, but if you know the story of Joseph, do you see how in the experience of Joseph, there's a foreshadowing of the greater one who's going to come, Jesus? See, it was an account of envy and jealousy that Joseph ended up in the pit. It was on the account of envy and jealousy that he was put into slavery. We're going to get into that next time. And faced the prospect of death. Now listen to this. And when Pilate, in Matthew 27, we have the record of it, when Pilate asked the crowd, who would you have me release to you? Would you like me to release Barabbas? Or would you like me to release Jesus? And the crowd says, we would rather have you Barabbas. You see, Pilate understood that it was on account of envy that Jesus had been delivered over to him. It was flat out jealousy on the part of the religious leaders. They did not like the fact that God had sovereignly proposed to do in person of Jesus Christ to unfold the reality of who he was. The envy of the brothers threw Joseph in a pit. The envy of those who had all the benefits of the prophets, all the wisdom of the Old Testament, all the expectation of the Messiah who was to come, it was the envy of those same people who put Jesus on the cross. Be careful where your envy and jealousy and bitterness goes. We know it took Jesus to the cross. As we find Joseph traveling, and you'll see in the scripture, he's traveled many miles to go see his brother because his father asked him to, looking diligently for those who rejected him. Isn't that what Jesus has done? That he has come diligently across the terrain of life, looking earnestly for those who upon seeing him wanted to kill him, Jesus. Wow. And Jesus comes in his word, and he comes in human friendship, and he comes, as the hymn writer says, there's 99, but he's going after the one. He's going after you and I always, always. This is what they said when Jesus came. This is what the brother said to Joseph, and this is what the world said to Jesus. Are you going to respond like the brothers? I won't have him ruling over me, Jesus. I don't mind Jesus in my back seat of the car. I don't mind Jesus in my trunk. I don't mind Jesus as an insurance policy for something, but I don't want a Jesus to whom I have to bow down to. Then there's no Jesus for you. Wow. There's more, but we'll read that another time. Wow. But there is a Jesus for you if you allow him. If you allow him. The story of Joseph. I'm looking at this one point. God gives us purpose even if it's not received by others. Take that to the bank. That's your insurance policy. When God gives you that word, God gives you that dream, God gives you that vision, we're gonna go on more and study it. But God is true to his word. Stay focused. Stay focused. And there's sometimes you just need that rhema word. God, I want this church to really start looking at how many times you actually communicate with Jesus. Not just ask him to do something for you, but you ever ask Jesus how he feels about you in your situation, in the decisions you've made. Because if he's your lover, if he's really your lover, whatever he says to you will line up with this. Whatever he says to you will line up with this. He loves you, church. He's coming back for us, but before he comes back, he says, there's two things that I need to do. Everything that happens is for the good for us, the Bible says. And the second thing, it has to glorify Jesus. It has to glorify God. Whatever he gives us. When we go after the city, he's going to stretch us. He's going to make us into people who we never thought we could be. Why? To glorify God. Go after the lost. Go after your neighborhood. Go after your family. So what I want to leave with you as we enter into this series on seasons, you're in a season. But we're going to learn resources and tools on how to just deal with this, your season, and allow Jesus to talk to you. Go ask Jesus some questions. It's okay. He's not going to be mad at you. Because there were people here today that came to challenge Jesus. And he said, I'm so glad you came to challenge me. It's okay, I'm not mad at you. I love you that you were man and woman enough to say, God, I need more of you, and I don't understand it. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Man, you guys are quiet. Come on. Let's just take a few minutes here, and we're going to pray, close in prayer. Hallelujah. 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 Hey, Mark, could you just come up with your guitar or one of the young ladies, the keyboards, we're just going to take a couple minutes. We're not going to belabor it, but I just want to spend some time. I want you to process all this is what's happening, because God is doing great things. Let's just close your eyes. Let's just think about what God is doing here today and in the weeks and the months to come at Calvary Gospel. He says, I love this church. This church is my bride, and I love them so much that I want them to hear my heartbeat. I want them to ask me questions. I want them to ask me how I feel about them. Because you, church, you will be very surprised how he feels about you. Lord, I thank you, Father. I thank you for the word that you've given us. God, that sometimes we just need that rhema word. We need that vision in our season. Lord, that we would continue to eat your word, the scriptures, to be filled up. It is a buffet, but it's self-served. You got to get out of your seat and go after the Word of God. But even in those seasons, we need a rhema word. We need that specific word that just says, yes, that does line up with Scripture. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking that into my heart. Man, that's the word I needed to get me through today. That was it. That's the word. Thank you, Lord. I didn't know I could just ask you. I thought I had to do all these certain things. I thought I had to come to church for at least 4 Sundays. I thought I had to give more than a dollar. I thought I had to, cross an old lady across the street. No, Jesus is all Jesus is saying. Those are all great things. And you need to come to church. And you need to give. Because God's already given you all that. It's in your pocket. Your pocketbook and your checkbook. It's all His anyways. Love people. You can help an old lady across the street, but do you love your enemy? Go the next step farther. But more than that, Jesus is saying, will you just ask me how I feel about you? And you say, well, how can I hear that? Well, because you have the Holy Spirit living inside in you, and that will speak to you. These are times when the world is coming at us in an onslaught to slaughter the church. Come on, we have to wake up. We need every resource possible to fight against this. Lord, I need a word in season when I stand before the government someday and they're trying to do X, Y, and Z, which they already have. Lord, and if you give me the opportunity, you have placed me in the government areas of our cities right now. Just yesterday, I met with one of the Governor Cuomo's aides. Yesterday. And she was asking me some questions. Who are you? I'm a pastor of a church. The city needs hope. And we're praying for the city. God, you have placed me in positions where I never thought. I'm just this little old boy from Herkimer that was scared to even talk to you. And now you place me in front of government officials. And they're asking me questions. Lord, I definitely need to hear you, how you feel about me. Because some of these people aren't just going to hear a word, a scripture. I can't quote them. Let's go with the Bible says. You know what this person says? What do you say? What do you say? I better get off this because I'm going to start crying. What do you say? Church, he's asking you. He's asking you. He's crying out to you. The people have had enough religion. Come on. The people are asking me, what do you say, Pastor? And it's not just me. He's asking you. Come on, church. He's asking you. I'm asking Oleg. Oleg, what do you say? I'm asking Alina, what do you say? Elena, what do you say? Constantine, what do you say? Sam, what do you say? Nadia, what do you say? Glenn, what do you say? Richard, what do you say? Come on, church. They've had enough religion. Definitely this is not religion. So I'm not holding up the Bible and saying that. But he's saying, what do you say Jesus said? Anna, what do you say Jesus said? Hallelujah. God, you're an awesome God. We need to hear how you feel about us, Jesus. And I'll never be scared to ask you those questions because I know whatever you say will line up with the scripture. But I need to hear what you say. Thank you for your word. Sometimes people, they wish that we didn't sing first. Because we start singing all those words. We got to do them. Man, we got awesome worship teams. And we can bask and bathe and worship. Well, but then Pastor Tom's got to come up and give us the word, Mark. Oh, hey, it's not my word. Believe me, it's not my word. I'd like to say 2 minutes and get off this pulpit. But Jesus says, no, I got some things I want to say. Because I'm preparing this church for mighty, mighty things. Thank you, Father. He's doing something right now in you guys, in this church. Lord, what decisions have we made in this church that glorifies you? Jesus, where do you want to take this church that would put a smile on your face? Where do you want to bring us? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this word. I ask that this word would be covered, protected, as we begin to do a series, as we begin to teach, Lord, more of who you are. God, I know you're preparing this church for mighty things. You left a remnant. You have left a remnant in this church. You have left the people that you have called to this church. And he says, I'm raising up the remnant now, and I'm bringing more in. I'm bringing in a remnant to this church that you guys don't even know about. People of different color, different race, different nationalities. I'm bringing them together because I have work to do in the city. Not just the city of Utica, Whitesboro, New Hartford, Marcy, Deerfield, Whitestown, Yorkville, wherever, this whole Mohawk Valley, Ilion, Frankfort, but I'm bringing a remnant together. I'm bringing my bride together, the lovers. My lovers, the bride, the ones I love. I'm bringing a remnant. You guys may look at it and say, well, we're just a few. God said, it only took 12 to turn the world upside down. It only took 12. We have more than 12. I know I went to a public school for my math, but I can count more than 12. He's ready. He's ready. God is ready. And he's more than able. And he's more than faithful. Thank you for hanging in there with me. Thank you for hanging in there with God. God's just saying, this isn't a condemning word at all. This is a word of spiritual challenge. I've got work to do. Hey, Calvary, my bride, ask me about it. Ask me how I feel. Because we got to get ready and we have to go do it together as a church. Once again, I want you to look around when this is over. Take a face that you don't know. Take it home. Pray. Intercede. They're going through a season. You don't need to know what it is. Jesus does. But if you want unity at Calvary Gospel, go pick someone you don't know. Bring that face home with him. Get on your knees every day. I don't care if it's for 1 minute. You intercede and you cry out the hardest you can for 1 minute for that person. God is going to do changing in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Hey, thank you so much, church. God loves you and God has got great things. Come and fellowship downstairs. If anybody wants prayer, I will be up here to pray with you.